Started last week, titled Redemption. Redemption. Hallelujah. Could I get you, I don't know how you guys feel out there, but could I get you to turn that AC off, just the one closest, the other one. That's the one, yeah, that's the one I'm feeling right now. Thank you. All right. All right, do you have Psalm 107? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Father, I thank you for everyone that has gathered here today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to worship you, to bless your name, to hear your word, and to fellowship together. Hallelujah. And we thank you for them. Thank you, Father, for your presence that's right here with us. We know you're here because you said wherever there's two or three that gather together, that have gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst of them. So we know that you are in our midst, and we're so honored to have you in our midst. And I, as the minister, I yield myself to the Spirit of God, Father God, to be moved according to his wishes. And may every word that proceed out of my mouth be words that bring glory and honor to you and bring healing and refreshing to those that hear it. And Father, we will give you all the glory, all the honor, and the praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. In Psalm 107, I'll begin reading at the first verse. I read the first two verses. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Now, here's the thing. I will finish this. But here's the thing I want you to grab a hold of. God is good. God is good. Yes, sir. All the time. Yeah. And all the time he's good. Hallelujah. Sometimes religion has, now when I say religion, I'm talking about religion, not relationship and fellowship with God. You know the difference, right? Religion is rules and regulations and so forth and so forth. But we need to understand where religion sometimes says God is out to get you. There used to be a gospel song. I don't know who the person is that sang it. I was very young. I think I was in my teens. That's how long ago it's been. They would sing this song. I think the title of the song is God's Gonna Get You For That. Anybody remember in my age range and remember that song? Okay, we got two or three that remember that, you know, and they, you know, the person would sing, and then the background would say, well, God's gonna get you for that. God's gonna get you for that. God is not out to get us. Because, can I tell you something? If God wanted to get us, we got before we can ever think about it. Amen. If God wanted to kill you, you already dead. It's just that quick. It's the devil that tries to steal your healing, try to steal your peace, try to cause you to live a miserable life. God is good. So let me, I just had to stop right there. Amen. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God that none of us are getting what we deserved. It's because of God's grace and it's because of God's mercy that we can lift our hands and thank the Lord and bless the Lord, because he is good. And even when we miss it, God is ready to extend mercy to us. If we're willing to confess our sins to him, he forgives us of our sins, don't he? Even when we miss it, even when we blow it, there's mercy and grace available to us. But we got to reach out and take it. We got to ask for it. Amen. Now, verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you, listen to me. If you are going to enjoy the benefits of your redemption, you better say so. You better say so. In Romans chapter 10. Well, matter of fact, hold your place at the 107th Psalm. And let's go to Romans, the 10th chapter. Then we'll go back. 107. It says in 107, let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Glory to God. Look at verse 8, Romans chapter 10. But what does it say? The word is near you. Where? Where? In your mouth and in your heart. Hallelujah. In your mouth and in your heart. That is what? The word of faith which we preach. Right? Now look at verse 9. That if you do what? Well, how do you confess? Huh? We confess with our mouth. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, see your words and your heart work together. Hallelujah. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will what? You will be saved. That's redemption, isn't it? Hallelujah. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, what? With the what? I know I'm camping here just a minute because I want you to get this. It's with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. That's the reason when you get saved, when you come to Jesus, you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. That's how we are redeemed, by faith, confessing with our mouth what we believe in our heart. Hallelujah. Every word that proceeds from our mouth, the devil hears it. And so does God. So in Psalm 107, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord not just think it. You need to say so. We need to say so. Amen. Isn't that good? Now, let's go back to Psalm 107. I'm just going to read the first two verses again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Listen at this, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Remember, I think it was Sunday, last Sunday, I told you. I think we went at some point in time, but I'll mention it again. In the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, and the 10th verse, you probably should be very, very familiar with that verse by now in chapter, because I touch on it a good bit because it's so important. But remember, Jesus said the thief, which is the devil, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. How many of you ever wished you could grab the devil by the neck and choke him? But guess what? We can't do that. We can't do that because he's a spirit and we're still in our flesh. And that's not the way we're supposed to deal with him anyway. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Well, how are we going to defeat him in our lives? By crying and say, Jesus, please make him leave me alone. No. It's by the authority that God has given us through Jesus Christ. We speak to him. We speak to situations. We speak to circumstances. That's the reason the Word of God tells us that we have been given authority through Christ Jesus. Jesus says, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you another helper, who is the Holy Spirit, to dwell on the inside of you, to, and I say you, us, all of us, to lead us and to guide us and to work through us. God has given us authority to speak to the forces of darkness and say, no! I will not allow you to do that here. I will not allow you to do that to me. Because I understand who you are. You come to steal, you come to kill, and you come to destroy, make my life miserable. I speak to you now in the name of Jesus, and I say, go. Pastor, I just don't believe that. Well, the Bible tells us, do what? Resist the devil, and he will do what? Which tells me, on the flip side of that, if you don't do nothing, he ain't going nowhere. If we don't do nothing, he ain't going anywhere. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We need to speak it out of our mouth. I've been redeemed. And we want to talk about some things that we have been redeemed from, if we get that far. But we need to understand, first of all, I have been redeemed. And I, because I'm redeemed, I'm going to say so. I've been redeemed spiritually. I've been redeemed physically. And we'll go into the word. I've been redeemed financially. Hallelujah. First Timothy, travel with me a little bit, the sixth chapter. Let's go there. First Timothy chapter 6. In First Timothy chapter 6, this is what it tells us to do. This is the 12th verse. It says, fight the good fight of faith. And I'm going to stop right there just for a moment. Fight the good fight of faith, which means if you're just sitting around doing nothing, nothing is going to happen for you. We are told to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We have to fight the good fight of faith. To walk in the blessings that God has given us through Christ Jesus. It's not just going to happen because you've heard me say it many times, because we are living in a fallen world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Amen? I don't want the world. How about you? Give me Jesus. I'm walking in the things of God, because the world's system and the world's way of doing things leads to destruction. Amen. So let me finish this verse. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Glory to God. Get ready to fight. And when I say fight, we're not talking about one another. That's the thing. We love to fight with each other when we need to recognize who our true enemy is. Notice something. We won't go there. But when Peter began to dispute with Jesus about going to the cross, no, Lord, you can't do that. You can't do that. Jesus didn't get offended and start fussing at Peter, did he? No, he didn't do that. He dealt with the spirit behind what he said. What did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. Because Jesus recognized Peter is yielding to the devil right now. Hallelujah. Are the kids out back? Okay. Thank you, Lord, I'm all right. All right. Those of you watching, don't concern yourself. We good. Amen. All righty, let's move on. Praise God. Now, while we're over in this area of the New Testament, let's flip on over to 3 John. 3 John. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In 3 John, look at verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper. You see that? That you may prosper. John is not praying that they struggle, having to scratch and scrape the bottom of the barrel all the time. He says, I pray that you prosper. And that you be in health. That you have good health. I've heard people say, well, you know, this situation that's going on in my body, you know, God is teaching me something, and God's using that to help me. But you notice what they never say? Please pray for me that it gets worse, because I want to learn more. I've yet to have anybody over the 50-some years, that I've been ministering and sharing the gospel. I haven't had anyone come to me and say, Pastor, well, I wasn't pastor first part, but I haven't had anybody come to me and say, please pray for me that I get sick. Please pray for me that I die an early death. You know, I haven't had anybody, because nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. Sickness is miserable. And I thank God And we should too. Thank God for the folks that's in the medical profession. Amen. They're trying to keep you well. Help keep you well. Everybody comes, if they're sick, they want healing for their bodies. But sometimes they'll come and ask for healing for their bodies and then walk right out and say, God's trying to teach me something. That's wrong. We just read it in 3 John, and this is not the only place. 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper. The King James Version said, brethren, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Learn a lesson. Your financial prosperity, your physical health, works right along with your spiritual prosperity, your soul. When it comes to healing, we need to get in the Word of God and learn all we can about what the Bible says about our health. When it comes to our finances, we need to go to the Word of God, find out what the Bible has to say concerning our finances, and come in agreement with the Word of God and begin to speak those words out of our mouths rather than agreeing with what the devil wants for us. Amen. Everybody have challenges. Everybody have challenges. We have challenges in our bodies. We have challenges in our finances. We have challenges. But we need to stand and not receive it. Well, Daddy was poor, my granddaddy was poor, they didn't have nothing, so it just runs in our family. Well, it's time to break that curse. It's time to break that curse. It's time to make a change. I saw some things going on in my own personal family as I was growing up, and I thought, not me. I'm not going in that direction. When I got saved and I got in the Word of God, I found out, no, I don't have to go in this direction, so I'm not going. And nobody can make me. Hallelujah. As far as I'm concerned, that curse is broken. Amen. Glory to God. Well, let's move on. Yo, you're still with me?
Amen.
So let's understand then that we have been redeemed from poverty, from sickness, from death, spiritual death. Now, you live long enough, we're all going to die physically or either be caught away. But because of Adam's curse and his disobedience, well, him bringing the curse through his disobedience, these earthly bodies can only live but so long. And then they wear out. And then we go to be with the Lord. That came as a result of the fall of man. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, we read it last week. Put Galatians 3:13 on the screen for me, please. Galatians 3:13. I want to read through it right quick, and then we'll move on for a few more minutes. Galatians 3:13. Hallelujah. Listen, I'll read it with me. Christ has redeemed us from what? From the curse of the law, having become what? A curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14. I love this. Jesus became a curse for us. We've been redeemed from the curse. He became a curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Now, one thing I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but one thing I want to point out about Abraham, God blessed him tremendously. Abraham was not a poor man. He was blessed. Abraham was also a tither. I thank the Lord for the little amens I got. Amen. Abraham was a tither. And he was a blessed man. So that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. Amen. We're children of Abraham. And we need to say, the blessings of Abraham are mine. Why don't you say, the blessings of Abraham are mine. Hallelujah. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And I'm not going back there today, but you read Deuteronomy chapter 28. It talks about the curse of the law, and it talks about the blessings. Amen. The blessings are great, but the curses are awesome. Awful, excuse me, not awesome, awful. And make sure, awful. The curses are awful, terrible. Hallelujah. All righty, you still here with me for a few more minutes? Thank you, Lord. Go with me to the book of Genesis real quick. Matter of fact, the second chapter of Genesis. And I've mentioned it several times, but understand, first thing that God redeemed us from, Jesus Christ redeemed us from, is spiritual death. Spiritual death. In Genesis chapter 2, look at verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man, that's Adam, and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man. Notice this was not an option. This was a command from God. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. The day that you eat of this tree, Adam, you're going to die. Well, death came in two forms. First, spiritually. He disobeyed God. He ate from the tree that God told him not to eat from. And he died spiritually. And because he died spiritually, guess what? He was going to die physically. Now, back in those days, folk lived much longer than we live today. Hundreds of years, many of them, hundreds of years. But eventually, physical death came. Physical death came as a result of spiritual death. He died spiritually. And guess what? From that point on, everybody born to man had to deal with spiritual death. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. He redeemed us from spiritual death. I'm no longer spiritually dead. Are you? I'm spiritually alive. Hallelujah. I'm spiritually alive. I have eternal life living on the inside of me. Glory to God. Turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Look at I'm for the sake of time, I'm just jumping right in the middle of this, but we'll begin reading at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, everybody say qualified, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the what? Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have what? In whom we have redemption through his blood and what else? And the forgiveness of sins. We were walking in spiritual death. We were in darkness. But we were delivered. We were redeemed out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'm reminded of something that the brother said last night. And I remember saying this a number of times. No, the brother didn't say that. You did. Amen. And it blessed me when you reminded me of that. Talking about being unequally yoked. And according to the scriptures, a believer should not marry an unbeliever because you are unequally yoked. Okay? Amen. Because God, for the believer, God is their father. For the unbeliever, the devil is their father. Remember, Jesus told some folks one time, he said, you have your father, the devil. You act like him, you talk like him, you do his deeds, you are of your father, the devil. I think it made them mad, but wasn't nothing they could do about it. Because he told them the truth. So, I made this statement that if you marry, if you are a believer and you marry an unbeliever, you can count on it. You're going to have a visit from your father-in-law. And he's going to have plenty to say about your marriage and your relationship. And when I say father-in-law, I'm not talking about your physical father-in-law. I'm talking about your spiritual father-in-law. If God is your father and the devil is his, guess what? You don't have to deal with the devil. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I didn't know that. My husband's not saved, or my wife's not saved. Should I leave them? I didn't say that. Making that clear right now. I'm not telling you to leave your husband. If you married, or your wife, if you married them, y'all married. Now it's time to pray. You hear me? I'm talking about before the fact. Those that know better. Amen. One of the first things I asked my wife before she was my wife, one of the first things I wanted to know from her, are you born again? Are you saved? Thank God she was. Now, if she said no, had said no, I'm not saved, I had two options. First of all, try to get her saved. Genuinely, because some folks pretend they saved just so that you don't leave them. Look for some fruit. Sometimes folk want to get married so bad they skip some things and find out about it later. Don't be in too big a hurry. So now, if I'd have made every effort I could to introduce her to Jesus, which she was already saved, but introduce her to Jesus and watch her lifestyle. And if she'd said, no, I don't want you, Jesus. I want you, but I don't want you, Jesus. You know what I'd have done? Headed for the door. A preacher, you mean? No, I'm not. I just want to live according to the scriptures. But I want to make this clear. Let's just say, for example, both of you were sinners when you got married. You got saved and your spouse haven't. That's not grounds to walk out on your spouse just because they're not saved. You pray for them. You pray for them. Try to be the very best wife or husband you can be. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't have the time to get off over into that, but the Bible has some things to say about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Read that chapter. Glory to God. Amen. So we've been delivered from the power of darkness. In other words, we were dead spiritually, but now we are spiritually alive in Christ Jesus. If you're born again, say, I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Number two, we've been redeemed from sickness and disease. Yes, we have. Yep. We deal with it. We have to stand by faith. We have to fight the good fight of faith. Are you listening to me? Go with me, Matthew, the 8th chapter, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. Verse 14. Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. Now, if that was God's will, then Jesus wouldn't have touched her hand, because he said, I've come to do the will of my Father. Didn't he? He says, I've come to do the will of my Father. So she was sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and what happened? The fever left her. And she arose and served them. Verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were what? Demon possessed. And what did he do? Cast out the spirits with a word. And that's not all he did. And heal some of those who were sick. Just check and see if you're paying attention. And heal all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself did what? Is that in your Bible? We're preaching from the Bible, the Word of God. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Notice it says that after he healed the sick. Glory be to God. I want to read verse 17. Again, and I'll close with verse 17. That it might be fulfilled. Well, no, let's back up to verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. You have to speak to devils. And then he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Get this in your spirit, please. He himself took our infirmities. Point at yourself. Our infirmities. Infirmities are our weaknesses. Our weaknesses. Let the weak say,
strong.
Let the weak say what?
I am strong.
Hallelujah. Let the weak say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let the weak say, greater is he that lives on the inside of me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. He took our infirmities, our weaknesses, our lack of abilities, and so forth. Not only did he do that, and bore our sicknesses. Peter says, 2:24, by his stripes we were healed. Hallelujah. So, Pastor, you might say, well, I'm dealing with some issues in my body right now. What should I do? Take your stand. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, in that area. Having done all to stand, you do what?
Amen.
Having done all to stand, you do what? Hallelujah. You stand. You stand. You've heard me say this before, and I want to repeat it again. Listen to me. If you haven't done it already, write it down. It's important. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Let me say that again. Faith begins where the will of God is known. What should we do when it comes to my finances? What does the Bible have to say about it? And I place my faith in what God said, not necessarily what man said, but what God said. What does the Bible have to say concerning my health? I place my faith in what the Bible says, what God's Word says, and I stand. There may be situations that's going on in my body. I don't deny that they're there, but I do what? Deny them the right to stay there. Now, if I come in here and I got a big knot on my head, it'd be stupid for me to tell you folks, huh? I don't have a knot on my head, and you looking right at it. You looking at a knot, but I'm saying I don't have a knot. I don't have a knot. No. The knot may be there, but I can deny its right to stay. Why? Because by his stripes I were healed. Jesus himself took my infirmities, my weaknesses, my inabilities, and he bore my sicknesses. He gave me the authority to deny any sickness and disease to remain in my body. Now, I may have to fight the good fight of faith. I may have to take a stand. But you stand. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know why some people die, not everybody, but why some people die? Because they become weary. And they decide to take the path of least resistance. They decide, I no longer want to fight the fight of faith. I don't want to stand any longer. I'm just going to give up. And when that happens, a lot of times, your spirit departs your body. And you're out of here. Amen. Glory to God. But what we have to understand is that the forces of darkness does not want us to know the truth don't want us to hear the truth, don't want us to know the truth, because Jesus made a profound statement. He said, we shall know the truth, and the truth would make us free. Can I clarify that a little bit? We shall know the truth, and the truth that we know will make us free. Hallelujah. The truth that we know. Praise God. I said, praise God. Don't let anybody talk you into anything. Don't let them talk you into sickness, talk you into poverty. Well, I tell you what, man, it's rough out there. I tell you, we just not gonna make it, man. We just not gonna make it. I tell you what, I don't know. Keep our house, keep our car, this, that, and the other. No. You make a decision. I'm keeping mine. We just sang the song. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Now we sing it, but I have to ask the question, do we believe it? We should sing it because it's true, but we must believe it. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for redemption.